Blog Talk Radio.
From the rainy but the sun-fun capital of the universe, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. It's great to have. We got a whole slate of people, friends, no enemies that I know of, and a great guest. So we're going to get started here. First of all, co-hosts, Dave Atwell, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, doing real good out here. Nice evening and everything. I lost my breeze the minute I came out here, though. I guess Mother Nature figured she'd play another joke on me, but fixing to light up a delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars, and I'm enjoying, believe it or not, I'm having a vodka and cranberry juice. It's not often I have one of those, but I saw the two bottles, and I said, eh. So I had one of those peanut butter and your chocolate moments, and I put together one of those. But I heard today, upon stopping at Godfather's, that a very close friend and co-host paid those guys a visit, Mr. Saxon. At place like Disney, isn't
that? Imagine that.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm sorry, you beeped out on me. Who did you say, Dave?
Mr. Todd Saxon showed up at Godfather Cigars and enjoyed the glory of that building. He did. So it was good to hear that. And like I said, if you're in Jacksonville, go to Godfather Cigars, man. You could just get lost in that place. Fantastic. Good place to go.
Oh, well, I do have a story about that place.
Well, good. Well, with no further ado, another co-host, Todd Saxon. Todd, how are you doing? And tell us your story about Godfathers.
I am outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. This might be record time for tangents here. I'm going to take it off speaker. You're an echo. I apologize. Godfathers has been go-to for Gary and I for a while. And he went ahead before he brought his, at the time, girlfriend to meet the family for the first time. They went over there and had a cigar. And she had a really negative reaction, as first-time cigar smokers are known to have. And that was her immediate experience before coming over and visiting us and meeting us. She was still green around the gills. Poor girl. But now, you know, she's a daughter-in-law, and, you know, she probably, actually, it was kind of good that she got all that stuff out of her stomach before she met us, because she probably would have done that after meeting us. So that's kind of the way it works.
I don't think so, Todd. I think you and Yuki are pretty nice people. But anyway, that's an interesting story. And we have, from the eye in the sky in Indianapolis, we've got Tim Armstrong. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
I'm doing fabulous. Always humbled to be here. Once again, enjoying another porch evening. It is getting a little bit cooler, so they are running short, but I like my porch evening. And I'm not too far off from you, Dave. I'm enjoying vodka and Diet Coke. Later on, I might move to the vodka flavored with a little bit of cherry, just to put that nice spin on the evening. So we'll see. But other than that,
all
you're
right.
Great.
Well, that's good. All right. Well, let's see. Now, speaking of our guests, we have one of the greatest wrestling, one of the two greatest wrestling fans that I know, and from Arkansas for sure, the queen of the wrestling fans in all of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster. How are you doing, Granny?
Well, hello, Dr. John. Hello, everybody. I'm so glad to be joining you all again. It's always a pleasure to be on this podcast with such wonderful people.
Well, thanks. We're glad.
And thank
you
for that wonderful introduction. I mean, you know, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I really appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. You deserve it. So tonight we have a really fun guest. We try to get him on as much as we can. It is, I like to call him Professor Wrestling. It is none other than Steve Logan from the Richmond, Virginia area. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. was just recently called Diamond of the Demographic by Devin Storm, so I feel on top of the world.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, indeed.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful. So the reason we have you on here is you have the latest and greatest news about wrestling. So tell us what's going on in the world of wrestling. Now, if you don't mind, I'll tell everybody about this past weekend Sunday night in a little bit. But, you know, tell us, other than the Wrestling Tonight podcast, what all's going on in the world of wrestling, the big wide world of wrestling?
Well, in pop culture and wrestling, Batista is in the new Dune movie coming out. I figured I'd open with that because that's a big role for him. He was in the news recently for kind of criticizing The Rock's acting career and, not taking kindly to being compared to The Rock in terms of their roles, their work. It's pretty interesting. And there was an AEW pay-per-view not too long ago, and tag titles changed. It's a pretty memorable pay-per-view because there was a controversy with the Matt Hardy, Sammy Guevara, Broken Rules match where Hardy fell off of a lift. And they thought, most people thought they should have stopped the match, but they continued the match anyways. And Hardy, cut a promo on Dynamite saying that he's all right, that he'll make a recovery, full recovery. But, yeah, there's a lot going on. New Japan, I know Jeff Cobb recently signed a contract with them. That's good for him because that's where he wanted to end up. And he did make an appearance in AEW briefly. But, New Japan has an American they're kind of expanding the States. They got a show called New Japan Strong, and I believe it's Friday nights. And it's awesome for him. Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio are still free agents, but they're expected to possibly re-sign with WWE. There's interest from Bellator MMA to sign to get Brock to a fight. John Jones wants Brock Lesnar in UFC, so it's pretty interesting news.
It certainly is. So that's the long and the short of what's going on in current wrestling, according to the professor of wrestling, right?
There was a controversy with WWE trying to restrict Cameo and Twitch from their roster using their stage names, their wrestling names on these platforms. I believe Cameo is probably off limits, but they want to, AJ Styles just came out and said that they want them to Twitch stream still. So it's, at first it was very vague, so there was a lot of backlash. I wasn't happy with it, neither was Mick Foley or Kevin Nash, but I think they've kind of relaxed on those restrictions a little bit since announcing their rules.
Do you think maybe they just did that to see what the reaction would be from the stars? Do you think maybe they did that? That they really didn't have any intention? Or maybe they did?
I think the roster didn't take kindly to it because I think with this pandemic, there's no live events, so they only work 2 or 3 days a week for the TVs. So I think they definitely, want that extra money on the side. So I think they're allowing them to do YouTube and Twitch, but they can't use their wrestling names, which I understand. They have to protect their IP.
Yeah, they've got to protect their intellectual property. But if Mick Foley wants to go on as Mick Foley, I assume. By the way, now this may be a dumb question: is Mick Foley the guy's real name?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I believe that's his real name.
Okay, I didn't know if he had another name
floating out there in the ether, and who knows about everybody.
Michael Francescoli.
Okay. All right. And one other thing that you mentioned, I did want to ask. You talked about Jeff Hardy and his accident and everything.
Oh yeah.
Was there any? Was there anything?
No.
Go into that just a little bit because that's kind of important.
It was Matt Hardy who had a fall at the All Out pay-per-view, and he said he announced on Dynamite he's going to make a recovery. The doctor that checked on him was Dr. Sampson, who saved Jerry Lawler's life years ago in that heart attack moment on Raw. It was a very controversial moment because I was shocked when I saw it, too. I thought that was it. Like, I was surprised they finished it, too. But knowing Dr. Sampson's credibility, I think he, you know, would probably know if Matt can continue or not. But there was a lot of concern for Matt Hardy's well-being. And thankfully, he's all right. And he's going to return with full health, he said, on Dynamite. So, that's good news for him. Jeff Hardy, actually, Matt's brother, Jeff, actually re-signed at WWE recently. So that's interesting because if he had not re-signed, he could have went to AEW with Matt and possibly teamed up again.
Well, they're the best. They really are. They're as good as they come, and I'm glad to hear that, you know, that there really is a good chance that Matt's going to be really back up to par and back out wrestling and giving us all he's got, because we sure do like that. All right, it's time to go around the room, and I'm going to go in the following order. Ladies first, which will be Granny, and then we're going to let Tim go, and then we're going to let Todd go, and then the curmudgeon of all time, Dave, will finish up our first round of questioning for the one and only Professor Wrestling, Steve Logan.
Oh, my.
What you got to ask?
Well, I'm just enjoying this conversation. I'm just trying to think of a really good question to ask him because he is so knowledgeable on this wonderful sport that we all love so much.
I'm a humble guy.
I know you are. You're very humble. You're very humble. Let me see here. Okay. What got you into enjoying watching wrestling? I mean, did you have any favorites? What got you started in watching wrestling?
Earliest memories are seeing either Sting on TV or Undertaker and The Rock was like the first WWE moment. And Undertaker
awesome.
And Kane. Undertaker and Kane are like my early favorites.
And that just did it. That just tripped your switch, right, Steve?
My other favorites were probably like RVD and Jeff Hardy as a kid, but definitely Undertaker and Kane, like, throughout.
Absolutely. Well, you never
That's
know
awesome.
What's going to happen. Somebody might end up being the mayor of Knoxville or something. I mean, Jesus.
That's true.
How lucky can the city of Knoxville be that got Kane? I don't know if he's much of a mayor or not, but he sure is a fun mayor. That's all I've got to say.
Kane has he's got a book, too, that he came out with, and he's very intelligent, so they might be in good hands, but continue.
Okay. All right, Tim, I know you've got a piercing question for the professor of wrestling.
Well,
piercing.
I was trying to
pierce the veil.
It was funny when you introduced him and was talking how he is from Richmond, Virginia. My ears kind of perked up. My brother lives out there, and I believe he lives close to Short Pump. I would assume you're probably familiar with that. I myself don't know the area. But an old coworker friend of mine, and forgive me, I'm trying to look it up as I speak, so I'm going to botch this. But I was just told, my question is, are you aware of this particular restaurant? Because I was told it was one of the best breakfast spots in the continent. And I believe it was called, like, Solder Whites or Solder House or something like that. I'm trying to look it up because it's escaping me. Does that ring a bell to you at all?
I've had to look it up, but
I guess that's
I'm glad you mentioned it. I'm glad you mentioned it, though. But I haven't. I don't think I've been there. No.
Okay. Well, and I wanted to key off what she was asking you. You know, kind of what got you into this, and I was getting into the spirit of things before the show a little bit, and I was kind of reliving some of my childhood. You know, I remember watching things like the Hulk. That was big for me. It was WWF. I saw the Hulk. I watched a bit of a clip between the Hulk and Rowdy Piper, but you mentioned Undertaker, and I saw it was a highlight of all of his entrances. And I'm telling you what, man, if you weren't into him, there was something wrong with you, because the entrances that he had, I mean, it was like the whole place would just light up, you know, and you had smoke coming out of the tunnel and he would come down. I saw one where he comes down from the ceiling. He was just, you never knew what that guy was like, but that was really all I had. So I'll probably come up with some more or chime in a bit more in the conversation a little later. So I'll move it on down the line.
I think,
Well, all right. Look, I wanted to talk classic tag teams going in here, but something Steve said really, imagine that, put me on a tangent. I know that's a shock to everyone. So you're talking about the medical care with things now, where doctors sitting there with professional wrestling, sitting there checking people out and that. Professional wrestling medical support has changed over the years. We know there's been some all kinds of nastiness, from broken neck in the ring, all know about Mr.
Yeah.
Hart, things like that. What do you think were really some of the big catalysts on that? Where, because we know, look, people, some of this stuff may be preordained. But, man, some of those bumps are pretty damn real. And like you just said, here was something in a match. It just happened. No matter – and you're talking a lot of professional experience, people knowing their limitations, and stuff still happens.
Right.
So when do you think the catalyst about the how the care for the wrestlers changed?
I think it definitely – probably was even more focused on after the Benoit tragedy. I think he just slipped through the cracks, basically, and kind of made them shift gears, at least WWE, and then everybody else probably took notice. But, yeah, there's still, I mean, even after that, there were still incidents that happened where wrestlers unfortunately either die in the ring or pass away afterwards. Silver King, Paraguayo, you know, Silver King was in Britain, I believe, when he was facing Hoovy. And one of my favorite Japanese wrestlers, 2009, passed away probably in the ring or after, Mitsuharu Misawa in Pro Wrestling Noah. So, you know, unfortunately, even with, you know, the advanced care that we have, there's still a high risk, you know, in wrestling.
Yeah, the all the nights that we have don't have somebody that's actually a vet from the business and that. Some of the bumps they take, you sit there, you watch it, you think anybody that's watched any degree of it with a, you know, sense of awareness of what's going on, you can see sometimes when it's like, oh, crap, that did not go as planned. And and these guys, you know, I mean, and sometimes we see stuff where the other guy in the ring is not aware of it, you know, where something went sideways like it shouldn't have. And sometimes you see where both are on top of it and they'll just, you know, they'll find a way to work within the limitations. And then, and you got some guys that, man, they'll just work their way through it. And it's, man, they do take some bumps. I'm just saying.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I forgot earlier in the news part, Mickie James was in some – there was a confusion about the Mickie James Asuka match on Raw this week. she had a title match with Asuka, and the finish was very unexpected. She was in a submission hold with Asuka, and the referee thought Mickey James was hurt. I think we all thought she I thought the referee either messed up or she got hurt. Like, apparently, like, I heard Lance Storm said or tweeted that the referee thought her shoulder was out, so that's why he called the match off early. And the finish was supposed to be, like, her tapping out, I believe, to the Asuka lock, but it just was very unexpected, like how the finish, you know, was cut short. And I think she's okay. It's funny, I was watching her YouTube show earlier, GAW on YouTube, and I think she's all right, but there was some confusion about her being injured in that match.
That's another element, referee awareness.
I think Aubrey Edwards was trying to stop the Matt Hardy match, but Doctor cleared him, and they were able to continue at the All Out pay-per-view.
Wow. Absolutely awesome. All right, Todd, thanks for that first round of questions. Now, the curmudgeon himself, Dave Atwell, what have you got for the professor of wrestling?
Well, first off, as we speak, we are joined by my lovely wife, Dale, who came out here with a cigar of her own. So she's out here enjoying a delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars. So, Dale, you're on the air. Say hi.
Hello, everybody.
She's over there chilling out, enjoying the evening and a cigar. Yes, I have led her into destruction when it comes down to the cigar smoking, but it's a lot of fun to sit out here with her, and we listen to the music in the evening times and everything. And this is our little spot, so we enjoy it. Anywho, she is here live. So, you are alive, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you're alive. So,
we're alive, pal.
Yeah, I'd be screaming if he wasn't, right? The question isn't really a question. It's just kind of a nudge in the ribs. Did you happen to see Sasha Banks in the Mandalorian Season 2 trailer?
I think she was in it very briefly, but I did remember either watching or listening to it earlier. I saw the news about her being on there.
I had no idea she was going to be in it, and I watched it, and my son's been hammering on me about watching it since it came out, and I haven't had the moment to sit down, so when I was eating dinner tonight, I watched it, and I kind of stopped, and I was like, nah, ain't no way, and then I went back and listened to some commentary about the trailer, and they said, yeah, that was Sasha Banks, so you're going to have a loaded cast out here this year, but it's good to see her and Gina Carano in there doing their thing, and you need to have more MMA and no more wrestlers out there getting into the geek culture the way they are. I applaud it. I think they'll do fine. Plus, it gives them an opportunity, and alluding to what Ty was just speaking on, much like professional ball players, all it takes is one bad turn. And you're suddenly looking at a commentating job, you know what I mean? So to see her in there and see Gina in there and everything, a lot of talent. Looking forward to seeing what they can do on there. So, yeah, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed Season 1. I need to binge Star Wars pretty soon. I really liked Esposito, who played Moff Gideon in Season 1. I thought he's a good actor. I liked him in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, so I'm glad he's in Mandalorian, and Sasha Banks, too. So I'll be looking forward to Season 2.
You know, Steve, I'm going to jump in with a question/comment. I've been watching as much as I can of some of the
the lady wrestlers from the 60s and the 70s, and you know what? Those gals were vicious. They were doing snap mares that looked like they really hurt. And
right.
It's just amazing when you look at them. They appear to be more vicious than the guys. I mean, you know, it was, obviously people like Stan Hansen and Vader and Kevin Sullivan, who's going to be with us on Wrestling Tonight this coming Sunday night at 10 p.m. right here on the Internet. But those girls were hard on each other. And,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess it was part of the fabulous Moolah's training. She taught them to be tough. And don't you think that they were, like, by and large, a lot tougher to get on with in the ring than the guys?
Yeah, I think there's some – I know wrestling in general was hard to get into back in those days, but I'm sure Moolah was definitely tough trainer. I know you watched the Dark Side of the Ring episode on her, which I thought was pretty interesting, and they kind of talked about her training and some of the rumors about her, some of the good things about her. It's interesting how long her career went on, even into, you know, the 2000s. And her our good friend Mae Young was pretty tough too. She was, both Moolah and Mae were taking bumps in their advanced stage, and there was even a tournament named after Mae Young called the Mae Young Classic with some young women in it. They're pretty great. So their legacy is still there. There was some controversy with the Moolah Battle Royal years ago, but her generation is still definitely remembered.
Well, they certainly are. And in fact, if anybody is interested, we've got a new friend from Columbia, South Carolina. He's a real wrestling aficionado. He's got some great memorabilia. One thing that he brought to me Sunday morning that I took pictures of and put it up on Scarycast. If you go to Scarycast, you'll see the pictures of the Johnny Mae Young funeral program from 2014. And I just think it's very, very interesting. Just great memorabilia. And he is interested in going with me to try to speak with some of the families of these great wrestlers. We do want to try to catch Moolah's daughter. We want to see if there are any of Johnny Mae Young's family still around. I know that Sweet Georgia Brown's daughter is still around, and Sweet Georgia Brown's son is a minister and might be able to track his sister down and see what we can find out about Sweet Georgia Brown. She was, of course, the first black female wrestler that went on the circuit. She was one of Moolah's students, and it was just pretty wild and crazy. And because I am opening a business in Lexington, South Carolina, I'm going to have an opportunity to spend some time down there. And what little bit of free time I've got, I'm going to be trying to talk to some of these great historical figures, because I don't think anyone until that movie Piss and Vinegar, the documentary about Moolah and Mae Young and several others, I can't remember exactly who they were. That's been really about the last thing, other than that Dark Side of the Ring, that I know of that went into depth and really talk to folks about those days. And I think they're important historically. I mean, I don't care if anyone's interested or not. I know I am. And, you know, some of the folks on Rady Hicks Show in the Room, and, of course, Scary Cast, and, of course, Wrestling Tonight, we're all interested in those great days. We don't want to let them go. Women's wrestling has changed, but we owe it all. We really do owe it all to Moolah. She did it. She did it unlike anyone else. So that was just kind of a comment. Yes, Steve.
It wouldn't be a Dr. John show without a Moolah mention. I had to bring it there.
You're exactly right. You know, for all the good, for all the bad, she did it. Nobody else did it but Moolah. It's kind of like Ric Flair. Nobody else did it but Rick, you know?
I got a topic that you could cover on your Murder 1-2-3 show. There was a Mexican female wrestler, Juana Barraza. I might be pronouncing that wrong, but she was called the Old Lady Killer, and she was sentenced for 759 years for killing between 42 to 48 elderly women. Apparently, this was a long time ago.
Absolutely, I tell you what, shoot me a text message with her name, the closest spelling you've got. I'll talk to a couple people and see what we could find out. I'd be glad to invite you back for that Murder 1-2-3. I think it'd be a lot of fun. So thanks for mentioning that. She sounds like a serial killer of all time in Mexico.
Right.
So, yeah.
And
all right.
Is there any other John, I got a question for you. Is there any other female wrestlers from maybe Moolah's era before that you like? I've heard the name Mildred Burke, but I haven't really watched her work.
Oh, she was gigantic. She was the reigning star before Moolah, and tough as nails. Absolutely tough as nails. I don't know so much about her career. I mean, because I've just focused on Moolah because she's from the Carolinas, and I've got. Okay, can I tell my one Moolah story that I see? I seem to be the only person that knows this story. This was told to me by Gary Sabaw, the Italian Stallion, is that Moolah was in her Cadillac, and she was driving about 90 miles an hour down Interstate 20 going back to Columbia, and the blue lights came on behind her, and she stopped. She just reared up and stopped almost. The poor old young highway patrolman almost hit her. So he got out of his car, and he said, ma'am, and she said, do you know who I am? He said, maybe you need to get out of the car. She said, I certainly will. And she said, again, do you know who I am? He said, no, ma'am, I don't, so I want to see your license. So she picked that young boy up, all of 22 to 23 years old, and she threw him on the hood of his patrol car. She said, I am the Fabulous Moolah, and you don't stop me like that, and I've got to get to my house. And she got in and left. And he let her go. And this was in the 60s. And back in the 60s, things like that could happen. And it wasn't exactly, law enforcement wasn't exactly the way it is today with everybody jumping on and finding out everybody's police record. So he just figured out that she was the Fabulous Moolah, and he would just let her go. And I kind of don't blame him because she was tough as nails. I wouldn't have messed with her if I'd have known who it was. But anyway, that's just a great story, and I believe it's a true story. It happened around Irmo, South Carolina, which is a suburb of Columbia. So, I mean, that's what we got. That's my Moolah story. I guess, Steve, you caught me red-handed. I'll have another Moolah story next week, okay?
I did want to mention some of the female wrestlers I met. Earliest one probably Kremlina from the original last two seasons of Glow. She's in the Virginia area, and she's always great to see at conventions. And then I guess the toughest female wrestlers I've met are probably Paige and Natalia Neidhart for sure, because she's got that Hart family training. And Paige, when she was doing her panel, she said she was a bouncer when she was a teenager in this, I guess, a UK bar. So it's pretty interesting when you meet these tough women you see on TV, and they're super nice.
Man, I gotta jump in here because you guys are talking about Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young. You know, our former co-host and our brother, Rob Papastrove, Kellum, he had just reposted a story about those two where they went in a match, did a tag team match against a couple guys, and I guess the guys thought they were going to beat him, and he got them to get in on a bet that they could beat the Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young, and those guys took a whooping. And, I mean, clearly Papa Crow tells the story better, but it's freaking great. Those guys were like, yeah, how tough can they be? And honestly, I think you know, given the time that they were coming in, breaking through and making the way, that was, you know, they had to be stronger, harder, better, faster than their competition because they were just trying to make a name for themselves.
Right.
Not just individually, but to be able to create their own brand. And there was something about that. I'll tell you, one of the other things I used to see with women wrestling growing up that I used to be like, holy cow, was they would grab each other's hair and throw them by their hair. They would use their hair, and they would be sitting there and spinning them and let them go. Look, I grew up with the Stooges, and we'd all watch Mo pull Larry's hair, and he'd come away with the handfuls. I kept waiting to see that stuff for real, not done in comedy, because the way they would do that. I'm like, no, you can't tell me that didn't hurt.
Yeah.
There is no way that didn't hurt.
I've seen extensions fall out before in a match.
Dude, they weren't using extensions back in the day, just saying. But
oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Well, Todd, I think the more hair you grab, the less likely it is to hurt. The less hair you grab, the more it hurts. Granny Hulkster, as our as our number one lady here, is that correct? If you get just a little bit of hair, it'll hurt like the dickens. But if someone grabs a lot of your hair, it won't hurt as badly. Is that a correct assumption?
Well, I mean, I never had really had anybody ever try to grab my hair, but I'm
sibling.
Sure that's probably true.
Oh, God, we're getting really close to changing the rating here. We're talking about wrestling, just to keep it near there, and we're talking about within the ring.
And we got the professor of wrestling, Steve Logan. We're always glad to have him here. He's probably – Steve, you got about 10 more minutes you can hang with us. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, well, give us your future predictions. What's going to happen in the next month to month and a half as we get toward Thanksgiving? Golly, it's hard to believe. We're almost 2 months from Thanksgiving. So what's going to happen in wrestling between now and then? What is your psychic pick?
You put me on the spot there, John.
It's good for you.
Tell you what, if you need a moment to think, Steve, if you need a moment to think, I know Tim figured out that breakfast place's name.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Satterwhite. It's all one word, Satterwhite. So if you've not heard of it, I've never been there, but I recommend checking it out because I've been told it's like the best breakfast over there in Short Pumps. Satterwhite. Satterwhite.
All right, I'm meant to look that up later. But October 10th, there's going to be a NXT TakeOver, and there's no card announced for that yet, but a venue. The 27th is Clash of Champions. So that should be a pretty interesting pay-per-view. All AEW probably doesn't have a pay-per-view until next year. They got recently done with one called All Out. And Jon Moxley's still world champion. Brody Lee is TV champion. So I'm pretty sure Moxley is going to face Lance Archer pretty soon, or Eddie Kingston, but probably Lance Archer. And probably going to defeat Lance Archer and probably hold that AEW title for a while until Kenny Omega challenges him. I think that's going to be his biggest threat for that world title, probably in the upcoming year. So yeah, there's some interesting shows to come, not just AEW and WWE, but New Japan. I think Naito recently won the world title over there from Evil. So I'll be looking forward to, I think there's going to be a tag league tournament for them later in the year, and then they'll probably speed up for Wrestle Kingdom next year. There's not much to predict right now, but it'll be interesting to see how these companies kind of develop if they can get crowds back into their venues again. I know AEW recently got smaller, limited crowds, and New Japan, obviously the pandemic is not hitting them like it is here, so they're able to get big audiences over there in New Japan. So, yeah, right now it's just Clash of Champions on the 27th, and NXT TakeOver is on the 10th of October. And then there'll be Hell in a Cell on November 1st, Survivor Series on the 22nd, and TakeOver on the December 6th, and the TLC pay-per-view on December 23rd. So those are, like, the big shows to follow from WWE. And then, so, yeah, there's a lot of content out there to follow. There's Impact, and I still never get the chance to check them out, but, you know, they took a lot of former WWE talents that are probably being better utilized in Impact right now, like the Good Brothers. And so, yeah, there's a lot of content out there to enjoy if you're not a WWE fan or AEW fan. So I think Finn Balor recently won the NXT title from Adam Cole, so it'll be really interesting to see who challenges Finn Balor for the NXT title at the TakeOver in October. So those are my kind of like my monthly wrap-up report, two-month predictions.
John, looks like our guest has about 3.5 minutes. Do you think, if you got anything planned, that's cool, but I thought it'd be kind of cool to give him a few trivia questions. Does that sound all right? Like maybe two or three?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Now, and I don't want to insult your intelligence. You know a lot more than I do, so these are probably going to be pretty easy for you. So the first one I got for you. The slam heard around the world took place at WrestleMania 3 when the 500-pound Andre the Giant was body slammed by which WWF superstar?
Hulk Hogan, but I could probably – I'm trying to see. I know it's Hulk Hogan, but I'm trying to see who was the first one. But I know Harley Race slammed him. The funny thing about that slam is that Hogan's been slammed plenty of times from previous wrestlers. I mean, no, Andre. Sorry. Forgive me for that. But Andre, I think Andre was slammed by Harley Race, Kamala, even Hulk Hogan before that WrestleMania moment. So, but, yeah, it's a very iconic moment for sure. Funny you mentioned WrestleMania 3. Sorry, I'm going on a tangent, but I met Alice Cooper and Jake Roberts and got to ask them both about WrestleMania 3. But you can continue with your trivia question.
Awesome. And yeah, you're right, by the way, of course, Hulk Hogan. Next one, another probably easy one here. Stone Cold Steve Austin is famous WWE wrestler, best known for drinking what beverage?
I'm not sure whether the answer is Budweiser or Steveweiser, but I know he has a Broken Skull IPA that he drinks right now or sells.
It's actually a very general. It just says beer. So you got it right there.
I think you got it, Steve. Look, what I thought, every trivia question you ask, Steve answers with deeper, darker trivia. That is awesome.
Love it.
That's why he's the professor.
It.
That's right.
I was at a convention earlier this year, and there was a trivia panel, and I was lucky enough to get a second place and got a reward that I wanted, a Bray Wyatt Funko Pop.
Nice. All right, I got one more, and then I'll let it go. What is the term used when a wrestler grabs the ring ropes in an attempt to break a submission hold?
Rope break.
Yep, that'd be it.
He's the professor. He's the best.
If you get a chance, ROH has kind of returned with new matches, and I believe they're doing like a pure title tournament, maybe. And they've got this really interesting stipulation where you can only get three rope breaks. So definitely more of a sport in Ring of Honor right now.
Oh, nice. It's good to hear that they're still around. That is good.
It really is.
Yeah,
Steve.
Definitely. interesting.
Yeah. And I'm going to release you because I know that you have to go do something important like make a living here at 10 o'clock. So I wanted to say thank you very much for being with us. We'll have you back in about 4 weeks if we can do that and enjoy more time with you. We've got actually – do what?
Sorry, I said I'll get some harder questions.
Okay, get some harder questions. I'll have more information about Mae Young. I'll have more information about Mildred Burke and the fabulous Moolah. We'll try to stump you on that, and we'll talk about a lot of other great things. What?
It's funny. I was at a – I did another trivia panel at a different convention probably last year, and there wasn't any wrestling, but there was horror, so I was getting stumped on that, but I got some right ones on that too. So, yeah, we'll have to switch up the trivia maybe. You'll definitely stump me.
Okay, and the lady in question is Ronna Barraza, and we will do a Murder 1-2-3 on her. Maybe you can join us on a Monday night for that. That looks super interesting, and I'll have to do some information on in checking on her and see what all she did, and see if there are any interesting conclusions we can reach with a psychic, a paranormal investigator, a professional wrestler, and a comedian from L.A., me. So, and we'll see. We'll have you as our guest that night because I don't think any of her relatives might be around up here to be on the show. So we'll let you represent her. So all I got to say is thanks a lot for being with us. We always appreciate it. And go enjoy what you're getting ready to do because you get paid for it. And we'll see you really soon. Otherwise, I'll talk to you on Sunday night on Wrestling Tonight. Just so that everybody knows, Wrestling Tonight is a new podcast. It is specializing in wrestlers from the NAWA, the North America Wrestling Federation. Co-hosts are Chaz Moretti and Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. With color commentator Steve Logan, professor of wrestling, Malcolm Wildman, and the Amazing Velvet from Charleston. So we got a live crew, and we got this Sunday night, we got Cindy Snow, the former Mrs. Al Snow. We've got Kevin Sullivan,
nice.
A guy. I can't wait to talk to him. And
Love the Army of Darkness.
And I mean, we're gonna give Kevin Sullivan all the time he wants. I'm gonna tell you, he's gonna be just a mass to talk to. I mean, he was truly. I will say this: when I saw him in the ring, I got the same feeling of dread that I got when the Sheik, the original Sheik. I never saw him, but I saw videos of him, and just you always knew something really bad was going to happen, and somebody really could get hurt. And I always felt that way with Kevin Sullivan. I didn't feel that way quite with Stan Hansen, who was a true bruiser or Bruiser Brody. But Kevin Sullivan literally scared me to watch. And I think it'll be a lot. I will really enjoy talking to him, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So we'll see you in Wrestling Tonight. That'll be our next time we butt heads. And thanks a lot, and appreciate you being here. So we'll talk to you soon, and pop culture stars will continue. So
meetings
have a good
safe,
Steve.
Brothers. All right. Hey,
thanks, Steve.
Dr. John, stay some break.
Okay. And
no, seriously,
station
break. We missed it at
that's
the bottom
right.
of the hour.
That's right, because I was having too good of a time talking about Moolah. Of course, thank you very much to Brady Hicks and VOC Nation for having us on Friday night, 5 p.m. it's a lot of fun. We're always glad to be there. And our sister show, Scary Cast, will be on at 11 p.m. on Friday night as well. So catch both of us again. This one was a lot of fun, especially with some of the stories from Professor Wrestling, Steve Logan. I'm going to make that name stick. I think he's a great guy, and it's a really, really good name for him because he's so knowledgeable, and it's great to see someone know a lot about a sport that they love and like we all do, and Granny Hulkster. And Granny Hulkster, it is now time for you to shine. I always like for you to shine. So it's time for you to tell us. That's right. It's time for you to tell us one of your favorite wrestling stories. And then I would like for everyone else to tell us one of their favorite wrestling stories. And we'll, after Ladies First and Granny Hulkster, we'll go in this order. Dave, Todd, and then Tim, and then I'll come up last. And I promise it won't be the Fabulous Moolah.
Well, Granny? Let's see here. Oh, my goodness. I've got tons of favorite stories. But one that
Let me ask you this. Do you have a Tommy Dreamer story?
Well, I do have a Tommy Dreamer story, actually. I do have a Tommy Dreamer story. This was at Traditional Championship Wrestling. They used to run in Arkansas. This was at their last show that they did November of 2013. It was called Last Stand. And Tommy Dreamer and King Shane Williams and Americos and Scott Phoenix was in an 8-man tag team match against Matt Riviera, Greg Anthony, Tim Storm, and Steve Anthony, who was known as The Empire. Well, as you know, Granny does not like the heels. I mean, never have, never will, even though Brady Hicks is trying to get me to turn heel, it's not going to happen, folks. So, with that being said, it got down to Matt Riviera and Tommy Dreamer in the final parts of the match. Well, Tommy's going around and he's using cookie sheets on Matt, trash cans, you name it, anything he can find to use on Matt Riviera. Well, now, Granny, I've had both of my knees replaced. Now, this was before I ever had my first total knee replacement, so I had been walking with a cane. It was one of those fold-up ones, like you get by at Walmart, you fold it up, and, you know. And anyways, I was standing up taking pictures. He just walks by and grabs the cane right out of my hand. And they're like, the announcers are like, oh, my God, he's got Granny Hulkster's cane, you know. And the crowd's going wild, and the guys are just laughing their heads off in the back. And he knocks Matt down on the floor, and he starts twisting the cane. And they're like, oh, my God, he's going down to the nether regions. You know, and Brian Thompson, that was Matt Rhodes, by the way, Brian Thompson, he's like, Granny, what do you think you're doing? This isn't fans, bring your own weapons match. And all of a sudden, you know, Tommy walks and he starts swinging my cane. And they thought, oh, my God, he broke Granny's cane, you know. And he comes back and he takes the cane. And he tucks the cane under Matt's tights, and he pulls up on the cane and gives Matt Riviera a serious wedgie to the point where Matt starts hopping around like a bunny rabbit. Brings me my cane back and hands it to me by the strap. He says, Granny, he says, you might want to go get this seriously sanitized because it's really stinky. And I still have that cane,
so awesome.
Even today. I still have that cane.
But did you get it sanitized? That's
I did. I sanitized it when I got home that night. I did.
Did you use Clorox like in Monsters, Inc.? When they had something other world come back in and they had the whole hazmat team come in?
Yeah, well, no, I didn't have to go to that extreme. I just used some Clorox wipes and just kind of sanitized it the best that I could.
I was psychic. I said Clorox. I sure did.
Yeah, you did. You did. You did, Dr. John.
Sometimes it's easy to be psychic, Granny. You just kind of go where the conclusion leads you. Clorox is about the best thing you can use to sanitize anything. All right, well, thank you. That's a great story with Tommy Dreamer. He's getting some press these days. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Tommy Dreamer is going to appear on NAWA, North America Wrestling Alliance, here at some point, maybe the end of this year or first of next year. And that's why I wanted you to do a Tommy Dreamer. And, in fact, Granny, do you have Tommy Dreamer's number? Could we give him a call and see if we could get him on the show?
I do not have his phone number. I wish I did, but I don't. Unfortunately, I don't have his phone number.
I'll get that from Tony, who's the head of NAWA. I'll get that from him, and we'll see if we can't find and have Tommy Dreamer on the show here in
well,
the next
week. Well, I
would
love that because that would be one show that Granny definitely would love to be a part of if you get Tommy Dreamer on there.
Well, I'll see if we can get Tommy on here.
Man,
he's
I can't believe it. Dr. John, you're asking for numbers from Granny's Hawkster's Little Black Book?
Yes, I am. Someone's got to have Tommy Dreamer's number.
I'm not that fortunate to have his number, you know, but hey, you know, Tommy Dreamer's a very good friend. I've seen him on many occasions, and that's the fun thing about TCW. You know, they used to do TV tapings, and to this day, they still show the old reruns down in the Little Rock, Arkansas area. And to this day, I still have people come up and ask me, "Hey, aren't you that lady in that yellow shirt? Aren't you Granny? Aren't you the one they call Granny?" And I mean, you know, it's amazing, guys. I mean, it's amazing the people. I mean, I've had dinner with Tommy Dreamer. You know, when we were in Tennessee for TCW at Tennessee Takeover, we all went to the Waffle House after the show, and Tommy was sitting up at the bar and up at the counter, and we were sitting in the booth next to him, and he'd gotten the pork chop breakfast with the grits and the toast and everything. And he says, "Granny, y'all still hungry? I'm getting kind of full." So he gave us his toast and his grits.
Well, that was
nice of
Tommy.
Why
Greer.
Not? You know. I mean, I've had dinner with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I've had dinner with Hacksaw Jim Duggan too. You know, so.
Hey, Granny, I thought I'd throw something out here. The irony is, your name, your Nick, nom de guerre, is Granny Hawkster. The irony is, you're younger than the Hawkster.
I am. I had some, you know, you, it's kind of funny that you bring that up because I had a little boy come up at a wrestling show one time and ask me if I was Hulk Hogan's grandmother. And I said, "No, baby, I'm not." I said, I'm younger than, I'm not even related to Hulk Hogan." And he says, "Well, where did you get the name Granny Hulkster from?" So I had to tell him how I got my name. And I said, "I'm not related to him at all. I'm not even his grandmother, you know, but everybody thinks it's so amazing that I've got this name." And I honestly never thought that this name would stick with me like it has. I mean, my God, I've had this gimmick name for 25 plus years. I didn't think it would ever stick with me. But
well,
lo and
let
behold,
me throw this out there just real quick, Granny. Given some of the things I've been called over my lifetime, run with it, because you're doing way better than I have with some of the things you've been called.
Well, you know, I have a very good friend that he was an independent wrestler. He kind of, you know, hung up his boots and everything. I don't know if he'll ever get back in the sport or not, but he actually posted this on my Facebook page one day. He said, "You know, it's funny when you get a better pop and you're more recognizable than most professional wrestlers." And he says, "I'm giving you that as a compliment because I'm just a fan, guys. I've never been a wrestler. Even though they've threatened to throw me in the ring a few times, I'm not a wrestler, but I'm sure, you know, the TV tapings of TCW, I'm sure that has helped a lot with my gimmick name over the years, because, you know, I had one shirt, my original Granny shirt says, "What you gonna do when Granny Hulkster goes crazy on you?" Then I have a shirt that says, "Granny Hulkster, Queen of TCW," that I used to wear to the TCW shows, and I still have that shirt too. But that this name would ever stick with me, I mean, I thought it would just, you know, like, oh, it would last for a while and then just kind of gradually disappear. No. I mean, the wrestlers that I know, they all call me Granny. Their spouses call me Granny. Their kids call me Granny. The fans call me Granny. I mean, I asked Tim Rockwell, who is the promoter of Wrestling for Cause, who I'm very much I've helped with over the years with their organization as well. And we do wrestling shows for kids that have cancer. And, you know, I asked Tim one time, I said, "Do you even know what my real name is?" And he says, "No." He says, "I've only known you as Granny." And that's a lot of my wrestling friends. That's all they've ever known me by. And, you know, I just, It is what it is, but I have fun doing it.
Granny, it was really funny. Last week, someone said to me about Lori Burt, and I said, "Who's that?" And then someone reminded me that was. Of course,
Lori
Burt
is. Lori Burt is my real name. And at one time, I had my Lori Burt page, and then I had a Granny Holzer Facebook page. But it just got too much trying to keep up the two pages. So I just went back to Lori Burt, and then I put in parentheses Granny Holkster, and it's all, you know, and that way I just got everything covered. But, yeah, I mean, no, but a lot of people did not know what my real name was. So,
I'm still,
you know,
hard-pressed, so forgive me. But anyway, thanks.
Oh, you're fine.
That's a great story about you. The next culprit, Dave Atwell, give us a story. Give us a wrestling story that will be memorable. Dave?
Oh, man, for all we know, you caught him being or in one of his dead spots in the yard. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did. Dave Atwell, are you there? First to Dave Atwell.
I was doing a station break, refreshing my beverage and getting rid of one that I had in me. So,
That's okay. So now, what is your wrestling story that you're going to share with us?
This is why we don't do like Skype. Because of the little things we do behind the scenes while the show is going on.
Speaking of, Dave, you mentioned station break. We are 2 minutes after the hour to get us back on track. Our top of the hour station break.
Thank you, Todd. You're better than a producer. Even though I'm supposed to be the producer, you're great. So thanks a lot to Brady Hicks and VSC Nation for having us on Friday night, 5 p.m. Pop culture stars, and we had a great time tonight with Steve Logan, Professor Wrestling, and we got more great things coming up next week. And Granny Holster needs to be with us again. She's always fun. Now, we've done our station break. Yes.
Before I go, I did want to mention WWE released Gerald Briscoe after being furloughed. I figured that was big enough news to not leave out there before I go.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Breaking news.
Guy's been around forever.
You heard it first here on Pop Culture Stars.
I don't see how you can release him. I don't. He's part of the fabric of this sport.
Right.
That's like releasing Moolah. So I got to name him one more time. That's like releasing Moolah. You just can't do it.
He was like the champion of the amateur wrestlers. Like, he would sign the amateur wrestlers like Dolph Ziggler to WWE.
Yeah. Well, thanks for us know that was a good spot, Steve. We appreciate you very much. All right.
Yeah,
now,
thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Anytime you can. All right, Dave. What is your wrestling story? I know you've got to have one back there with your cigar and your refreshed beverage, vodka and cranberry juice.
Actually, I've turned to beer. I just the vodka and cranberry juice just didn't get the job done, so I've gone back to my old faithful. And Tim, for the record, my lovely bride is out here drinking a Tito's and Mountain Dew right now.
How'd you know that?
Because I saw it sitting on the counter because you didn't put it back in the damn fridge. That's how I saw it.
Gail, just as old as he is, his eyes are still good enough to do that, so you're going to have to hide stuff better.
So I've often talked on the show about the adventures you used to take with my dad when we had that conversion van, and we used to drive to Savannah when we were kids. And, you know, my dad with all of his drunk Marine Corps buddies, I says, but I never spoke a whole lot about the wrestling trips we used to take with Dale. And Dale and I had been together for, about a year or two, maybe? And I was working in a store that was a rural store at the time, and this area lived and died by wrestling. These folks take it as a religion out there. And I worked with a couple of guys that were huge fans. And every Tuesday, we would get together. We would tape Raw and Nitro every Monday night. And every Tuesday, everybody would rush to get everything knocked out. And we'd sit in the break room over some chow and rewatch the tape. So they had one of the pay-per-views coming to Charlotte. And we said, well, man, Charlotte, and back in those days, that was before you could run 40 to 85 to catch Charlotte. That was back when you used to have to take the 74, 76 all the way through, and it was pure hell getting to Charlotte. But nevertheless,
oh, gosh, yeah.
we rented out a 15-passenger van, and like the church vans, and everybody threw a little money in, and we all went out there, and it started a habit. Where whenever we went to Lawrence Joel there in Winston-Salem and everything. But every time we went, things happened. There was one time we got stopped at one of those highway patrol stops. And we had like four patrolmen in the back of the van. And we were up front. We're like, God, what are they looking at back there, man? What are you guys, you guys weren't drinking about it. You weren't rolling a doobie, were you, you know? Come to find out, one of the brothers of the guys that was going with us was showing the cops all the Ric Flair shirts that he had bought. The damn thing. So, yeah, we had that. We had we pulled up one time, and there was a guy with a sub sandwich in his hand, this big-ass sub sandwich. And he was doing a spot-on Jeff Jarrett walk. And he had this sub in his hand. He was drunker than hell. But the lettuce and tomatoes and everything were just flying off the sandwich, but he didn't care. He was just doing the Jeff Jarrett. And no matter what, there was always, I mean, I could fill up a two-hour show just talking about the stuff that happened on those wrestling trips. But since Dale is here, one of my best wrestling stories that means the most to me, yes, that one, Dale. Okay, we all remember the night when Dusty went NWO, and it messed all of us up when Dusty went NWO, because we can't have Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, walking around in an NWO shirt, daddy. We can't have that, brother. So everybody was kind of like, down in the dumps about it. Well, somebody, and Dale, of course, was like, were you like 14 months pregnant at the time? You were very pregnant. And she wasn't too tickled with the fact that all of us were liquored up, including her husband. And somebody said, well, did you figure out what you're going to name the baby? And I said, well, we're going to name him Robert after my dad, but we're still up in the air about middle names. So, of course, one of my asshole friends goes, well, how about The Rock? Another one says, what about Rikishi? Meantime, Dale's over there going, we're not naming him after a wrestler. And the more names that got thrown around, the madder she got. And I finally hit the old, hey, guys, drop it. Mama's getting upset. And somebody said, well, what about Austin? And I stopped and I says, wait a second. Robert Austin. That's got a ring to it. December 3rd, 1998, she went into labor, and Robert Austin Atwell came into the world. So a couple years later, I was working with a guy who came in and handed me a little piece, a little article that was in some magazine that he had, and it was a Jeff Foxworthy article, and it said, if you name your kid after a wrestler, you might be a redneck.
Might so, be, yes. Dave?
Might be, yes. So my son is named after the Sergeant Major and the Texas Rattlesnake, and still damn proud of it. He's a good boy, so yeah. I mean, like I said, I could go all night. But that was the big one right there, knowing that we named Rob after a wrestler, and he's a good boy. John, you and Todd, you guys ain't seen him in a while. When you guys see him, your jaw is going to go through the floor because he's
oh,
John,
man,
you'll get a
well, I told you before, last time I seen him, he was doing a credible Bigfoot reference, and, you know, for all the disbeliever that you are, I'm pretty sure that you raised a Bigfoot, Dave.
Well, if you see him now, that is indeed what he is. So he's got the size of the copious body hair to match, you know, to complement it. So, but yeah,
Dave, just so that you know, now I got your Christmas present, and I'll go ahead and let the secret out. It is 3 glow sticks. I got them for you.
Hey, you know, and I'll have to tell you some other time, John, but I actually looked up, I didn't look it up, I accidentally saw it, an actual case that I believed in. And it was not necessarily a Bigfoot, but it was a giant, and we've talked about giants on the show before and everything. But yeah, it was where, it was over there in the Middle East. And a special forces team had gone into a cave.
I know the story. I concur.
You know the story then. And they loaded this thing up on the floor. Yeah, it's and not to go into the long, because, I mean, we've got everybody else needs to have their piece. But basically, the long and short of it is that and Todd can help me out with the military teams on this, but whenever a team is engaged, they do they call it a tick. I know that, but it's basically an anachronism for we are being engaged. And, you know, like a cop will say, shots fired. You know, when
good
you're
analogy.
In the military, yeah, they will say tick, which means you're being engaged by some type of opposing force. Nevertheless, this group of special forces disappeared. And, I mean, there was no radio contact, no pickup, no bodies, no nothing. They were lost. So they got another group of guys together and went to this cave to go find out what was going on. Well, when they got to the mouth of the cave, reportedly this 8-foot giant came out with long red hair and beard, had 6 fingers and 6 toes on each foot and everything, blah, 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 threw a spear and hit a serviceman in the chest, and this serviceman ultimately passed from the injury. As soon as he threw the spear, they opened up on this thing and they shot it to pieces. They flew 2 helicopters in, one to extract the team, and another one to pick up the body of this 7-8-foot thing that had thrown this spear. And that's the big key thing. It wasn't like a hand-to-hand engagement. It was an actual projectile weapon that was thrown. And they get this thing back to base. They loaded the body of this thing into a C-130 plane and flew it back. The pilot of the C-130 described the thing exactly like the special forces members did, though the pilot of the C-130 and the special forces team never met one another, so they didn't have a chance to compare notes, but they gave the exact same description of this thing. Anywho, The thing was flown off on a C-130. The special forces team, just decompressed. The next morning, they were debriefed and made to sign disclosure agreements or non-disclosure agreements.
Non-disclosure, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess it was about 3 years later, one of the guys on that special forces said, hey, I don't give a damn, you know, to hell with it. This is, my good friend that died right here in front of me by some odd circumstance, and I want to know what the hell's going on. And he started talking about it, and when he did, other people started talking, and they still, everything's, you know, there's no comments for the government or anything like that, but it's very interesting when you have, you know, it's not some guy scotch taping goddamn close to a tree. This is something, you know, that has some credence. We're talking, you
and
know,
let's go with this. The
now,
backside
now, Dave,
of that, after the anomaly was picked up, get radio silence. Just saying.
Right.
Well, now, Dave, can you give us an approximation of where this happened? I mean, which country?
I want to say it was Afghanistan, wasn't that, Todd? It was
I
Middle
concur.
East.
I
yeah.
concur, Afghanistan.
Yeah, and it was all cave. And, you know, I have heard, you know, I've listened to several other things about these cave-dwelling giants. And, you know, and normally the stories are coming from, again, some, you know, and I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but I'll put it to you this way. If I walk up to you and say, hey, there's a bear out back, you can best damn well believe there's a bear out back. But then there's people that we know that say, hey, there's a bear out back. And you go out there, you're like, how many damn drops of acid you done tonight, man? And a lot of the stories you read.
Saying, you're just saying consider the source. That's all you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. And I if a guy could fly a C-130 plane, I consider him a reliable source. And, you know, when you have the Special Forces guy and they all corroborate the same descriptions and they've never met, yeah. Like I said, it's not some guy scotch taping glow sticks to a tree somewhere, man. It's something that actually has some teeth. So, yeah, that was an interesting case. I'm glad you heard it, Todd. Now I don't feel nuts.
No, I concur with you. I'll let that slide as my story so that we can get to Tim because we're at 17 after and we are going to be struggling to make the close.
That's right. Tim, what you got?
Well, now you put it, you changed the topic and now you put it back to me and I got to spin it back. So anyone who is interested, you know, I was going to give in as well, but you know, I being one of the younger folks and probably not as many good wrestling stories, what I had done is I looked up here because, you know, and I put my cards out on the table. All of my memories come from being a kid. I have no specific matches in mind. That's what we were talking about was our favorite wrestling points. But what I can remember are little bits and pieces of things that I remember that really, you know, got me all excited when I was a kid. And I can remember a few vague memories of Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. So I decided I decided to do a couple of Google searches, and I found it was a tag team event, and it was the WWF, and it was Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Rowdy Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. And I'm pretty sure I saw this back when I was a kid. I couldn't tell you much. I did watch a little bit of a highlight reel. Looked like Hulk Hogan ended up pinning down. Looked like there were a couple others that got involved in the ring. Pretty exciting match, but, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there. That was one of the memorable, in general. Those were the things that really got me, you know, sparked when I was a kid.
Let me tell
and,
you, two,
yeah,
your
go
granny
for it.
Ain't going to dig this, but two of the best heels in the game, Paul Orndorff and Rowdy Roddy Piper, they, of course, had Cowboy Bob Orton, in the mix, backing them up. Dude, let me tell you, I'd be hard pressed to find a more favorite heel. You know, people can talk Flair, stuff like that, but look, Rowdy Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff, yeah, just love those guys. What? Yeah, they were something else.
They were.
And I'll tell you what. if they were not so good as the bad guys, because Roddy Piper was the foe that started WrestleMania. Paul Orndorff coming in with him to continue the stuff. WWF would have not got to be what it was if they did not have such good anti-heroes to go against the hero. And that is why the heel is so stinking valuable, Granny.
Yeah,
right. I just because I don't like the heels, I totally agree with you on that statement. I really do. Because, you know, you mentioned Cowboy Bob Orton, and he was at a Legends show in Harrison, Arkansas. And, of course, he was the heel that night, of course. And he was over in the corner, and I was doing my thing, and all of a sudden he just stops. I mean, right in the middle of the match. He stomps his foot. He looks at me. He put his fist on his hips, and he starts shaking his finger at me. He says, Granny, I thought we were friends. And I said, we are. He says, then why are you booing me? I said, because you're not being a very good boy tonight, Bob. He just literally stopped in the middle of the match. But no, I totally agree with what you're saying there, Todd. I really do. Even though Granny does not like the heels, I totally agree with what you're saying.
You got to have them. Yeah, you absolutely have to have them.
You have to have them.
Yeah, if the heel is not good at their craft, I mean, how good is a good guy if he don't really have much of a bad guy?
The heel is not talking smack to the crowd and making somebody mad, they're not doing their job.
Oh yeah, that is their job, right, Granny?
That is their
Absolutely.
Job. That is their job to make. But I'm saying, if they're not making somebody angry and getting somebody upset, then they're not doing the best job that they can possibly do. And I have seen some heel wrestlers that, you know, have been in that situation. Now, most of the heels that I deal with, they're very good at what they do. I mean, very good at what they do. But there's been some heels that if Granny didn't talk a little smack to get them going, I mean, there was a couple heels one time at different independent shows that I've been at that I actually had to kind of push their button to make them a little bit madder. Yeah. And of course, nobody caught on. That's what I knew, but you know, it just, that's the way
Thank
it was.
You.
That's the way
yeah,
it works.
Well.
Let me throw this out there. We are at 23 minutes after and change. Time
that's
to close
right.
The show.
And we're all going
to
get 1 minute after you say this, Todd.
All right,
yes,
so minute each, just threw it back to me. Get it. The look, gang, this is, I told you before, this is my decompression thing. I appreciate the hells out of you because I had a moment today that we were in a high-level meeting, and I guess in a way to relate it to Granny, you could say the heels, the folks that are actually inspecting us, trying to make us better, and we tend to look at them as a heel, even though it's not strictly true. High-level meeting, and the guy's like, hey, Todd, you guys were working on this. Where are we at on that? And it occurred to me at this level meeting that since it's a teleconference, that my voice is a voice of the organization. And when that meeting was over, I felt kind of overwhelmed. So it's just, you know, if I didn't have this decompression, it wouldn't help. So thank you for the decompression, gang.
Yeah, you are welcome. All right, so I'm now going to go around the ring, and everybody gets 60 seconds. No more starting now. Dave Atwell, what have you got to say to us? What have you got to plug?
Well, real quick, just today when we were at work and you know, of course, now I own a pressure washing business, and that's what I'm doing. And we have a commercial contract with the county schools that we're working on. And today, you know, we've been working on one particular school now for about 3 or 4 weeks. And we had on several different occasions, staff come out to us and thank us for what we were doing. And, you know, for a guy who came up in grocery and retail for 35 years, you never hear that. And so we passed out a few cards and everything. And, of course, the name of our company is Home of the Brave, and we've got the most beautiful piece of linen ever sewed together on our card and everything. And the way these people just accepted us and were so excited about, you know, the what we were producing for them and everything, and just knowing that passing out those cards could lead to another couple of gigs and everything, and then we get on here at night, we talk about Godfather Cigars, and again, if you ever meet Eddie, the guy who owns the place, fantastic. We'll give you the shirt off his back. You won't get that at a corporate level. So, folks, support your local businesses, your small businesses, your moms and pops, because they're trying, and because they don't have any other damn choice. So, again, support your local business. Take care of them during this monkey business we got going on. And God bless this wonderful country that we can actually say that. That's it.
Thank you for 2.5 minutes. Tim, what you got?
Right. I did my due diligence. I started a timer, and I got 56 seconds right now. And I got three things to say. A, to Todd, I want to say, you know, I work with Todd. He does a damn good job. He does great at supporting us. He has supported me in so many different ways there. I appreciate the work he does, and I'm glad to be a part of his decompression on this night. Two, I also wanted to point out with the Hulk and Mr. T, just a funny reference, because I can also remember watching those two. Hulk Hogan was a guest on the A-Team, and as a kid, that episode was awesome to watch. I loved it. Third thing I wanted to say is, and I know this isn't along the lines of wrestling, but for any of those of you who watched Karate Kid as a kid, my wife and I have been watching a reboot of it called, oh, Lord, it's going to skip me, something Kai, Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai.
And I got 5 seconds left, and that's all I got to say. It's a great show, and I'm done. 60 seconds, boom.
All right, wonderful. Granny Hulkster, your 60 seconds starts now.
I'm good, Dr. John. I'm good. So,
we love you. Thanks for being with us. Todd, do you have 60
seconds?
I'm glad
to be here.
All right. Todd, you got 60 seconds?
Alibis. Thank you, Tim. I'm assuming that I had already run with mine. Look, group, you are the freaking best. Something Diamond Dave talked on. Support your local businesses. Let me tell you, it was great to walk in the local business yesterday by the tacos. Love you people. And, man, their product is something. Look, if you ain't done it, your local place that does real street tacos, they are elegant in their simplicity. Check them out, people. It's all yours, John.
Sounds good. Hello. And I will say thanks to everybody for being here. My favorite people are on this show. And we'll be back next week with another cool guest and lots more exciting human interaction and stories on the one, the only Pop Culture Stars. There's no other show like it on internet radio. And thanks, yes, ma'am, Miss British lady, 60 seconds. So I'll say thanks. Good night, all. I'll talk to you sooner than later, everybody. And have a great weekend, okay? Goodbye.
Good night, everybody.
All right.
Take care of yourself. Take care of your family.